Chapter 110. I gather, my dear Mortimer, apostrophe pursued Eugene, as Lightwood stared at the obscene visitor, apostrophe from the manner of Mr. Dawes, which is occasionally complicated, that he desires to make some communication to me. I have mentioned to Mr. Dawes that you and I are on terms of confidence, and have requested Mr. Dawes to develop his views here. Apostrophe, the wretched object being much embarrassed, by holding what remained of his hat, Eugene airily tossed it to the door, and put him down in a chair. It will be necessary, I think, apostrophe, he observed, to wind up Mr. Dawes, before anything to any mortal purpose can be got out of him. Brandy, Mr. Dawes, or apostrophe, apostrophe, threepenn'orth rum, apostrophe, said Mr. Dawes. A judiciously small quantity of the spirit was given him in a wine glass, and he began to convey it to his mouth, with all kinds of falterings and gyrations on the road. The nerves of Mr. Dawes, apostrophe, remarked Eugene to Lightwood, are considerably unstrung, and I deem it on the whole expedient to fumigate Mr. Dawes. Apostrophe, he took the shovel from the grate, sprinkled a few live ashes on it, and from a box on the chimney piece took a few pastels, which he set upon them, then, with great composure, began placidly waving the shovel in front of Mr. Dawes, to cut him off from his company. Lord bless my soul, Eugene! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Lightwood, laughing again, what a mad fellow you are! Why does this creature come to see you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, we shall hear, apostrophe, said Rayburn, very observant of his face withal. Now then, speak out. Don't be afraid. State your business, Dawes. Apostrophe, Miss Rayburn. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the visitor, thickly and huskily. Apostrophe, tis Miss Rayburn, ain't? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a stupid stare. Of course it is. Look at me. What do you want? Apostrophe, Mr. Dawes collapsed in his chair, and faintly said threepenn'orth rum. Apostrophe, will you do me the favor, my dear Mortimer, to wind up Mr. Dawes again? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Eugene. I am occupied with the fumigation. Apostrophe, a similar quantity was poured into his glass, and he got it to his lips by similar circuitous ways. Having drunk it, Mr. Dawes, with an evident fear of running down again, unless he made haste, proceeded to business. Miss Rayburn tried to nudge you, but you wouldn't. You want that direction. You want to know where she lives. Do you, Miss Rayburn? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a glance at his friend, Eugene replied to the question sternly, I do. Apostrophe, I am her man, apostrophe, said Mr. Dawes, trying to smite himself on the breast, but bringing his hand to bear upon the vicinity of his eye, do it. I am her man, do it. Apostrophe, what are you the man to do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Eugene, still sternly. Give up that direction. Apostrophe, have you got it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a most laborious attempt at pride and dignity, Mr. Dawes rolled his head for some time, awakening the highest expectations, and then answered, as if it were the happiest point that could possibly be expected of him. No. Apostrophe, what do you mean then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Dawes, collapsing in the drowsiest manner after his late intellectual triumph, replied. Threepenn'orth rum. Apostrophe, wind him up again, my dear Mortimer, apostrophe, said Rayburn, wind him up again. Apostrophe, Eugene, Eugene, apostrophe, urged Lightwood in a low voice, as he complied, can you stoop to the use of such an instrument as this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I said, apostrophe, was the reply, made with that former gleam of determination, that I would find her out by any means, fair or foul. These are foul, and I'll take them, if I am not first tempted to break the head of Mr. Dawes with the fumigator. Can you get the direction? Do you mean that? Speak. If that's what you have come for, say how much you want. Apostrophe, 10 shillings through penneth rum, apostrophe, said Mr. Dawes. You shall have it. Apostrophe, 15 shillings through penneth rum, apostrophe, said Mr. Dawes, making an attempt to stiffen himself. You shall have it. Stop at that. How will you get the direction you talk of? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am man, apostrophe, said Mr. Dawes, with majesty, get it, sir. Apostrophe, how will you get it, I ask you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am ill-used visual, apostrophe, said Mr. Dawes. Blown up morning night. Called names. She makes mint money, sir, and never stands through pen or thrum. Apostrophe, get on, apostrophe, rejoined Eugene, tapping his palsied head with the fire shovel, as it sank on his breast. What comes next? Apostrophe, making a dignified attempt to gather himself together, but, as it were, dropping half a dozen pieces of himself, while he tried in vain to pick up one, Mr. Dawes, swaying his head from side to side, regarded his questioner with what he supposed to be a haughty smile and a scornful glance. She looks upon me as mere child, sir. I am not mere child, sir. Man. Man talent. Lures pass betwixt them. Postman lures. Easy for man talent get direction, as get his own direction. Apostrophe, get it then, apostrophe, said Eugene, adding very heartily under his breath, apostrophe, you brute. Get it, and bring it here to me, and earn the money for 60 threepenn'orths of rum, and drink them all, one a top of another, and drink yourself dead with all possible expedition. Apostrophe, the latter clauses of these special instructions he addressed to the fire, as he gave it back the ashes he had taken from it, and replaced the shovel. Mr. Dawes now struck out the highly unexpected discovery that he had been insulted by Lightwood, and stated his desire to have it out with him on the spot, and defied him to come on, upon the liberal terms of a sovereign to a halfpenny. Mr. Dawes then fell a-crying, and then exhibited a tendency to fall asleep. This last manifestation, as by far the most alarming, by reason of its threatening his prolonged stay on the premises, necessitated vigorous measures. Eugene picked up his worn-out hat with the tongs, clapped it on his head, and, taking him by the collar all this at arm's length, conducted him downstairs, and out of the precincts into Fleet Street. There, he turned his face westward, and left him. When he got back, Lightwood was standing over the fire, brooding in a sufficiently low-spirited manner. I'll wash my hands of Mr. Dawes physically, apostrophe, said Eugene, and be with you again directly, Mortimer. Apostrophe, I would much prefer, apostrophe, retorted Mortimer, you're washing your hands of Mr. Dawes, morally, Eugene. Apostrophe, so would I, apostrophe, said Eugene. But you see, dear boy, I can't do without him. Apostrophe, in a minute or two he resumed his chair, as perfectly unconcerned as usual, and rallied his friend on having so narrowly escaped the prowess of their muscular visitor. I can't be amused on this theme, apostrophe, said Mortimer, restlessly. You can make almost any theme amusing to me, Eugene, but not this. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Eugene, I am a little ashamed of it myself, and therefore let us change the subject. Apostrophe, it is so deplorably underhanded, apostrophe, said Mortimer. It is so unworthy of you, this setting on of such a shameful scout. Apostrophe, we have changed the subject. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Eugene, airily. We have found a new one in that word, scout. Don't be like Patience on the mantelpiece frowning at Dawes, but sit down, and I'll tell you something that you really will find amusing. Take a cigar. Look at this of mine. I light it, draw one puff, breathe the smoke out, there it goes, it's Dawes. It's gone, and being gone you are a man again. Apostrophe, your subject, apostrophe, said Mortimer, after lighting a cigar, and comforting himself with a whiff or two, was scouts, Eugene. Apostrophe, exactly. Isn't it droll that I never go out after dark, but I find myself attended, always by one scout, and often by two? Lightwood took his cigar from his lips in surprise, and looked at his friend, as if with a latent suspicion that there must be a jest or hidden meaning in his words. On my honor, no, said Rayburn, answering the look and smiling carelessly. I don't wonder at your supposing so, but on my honor, no. I say what I mean. I never go out after dark, but I find myself in the ludicrous situation of being followed and observed at a distance, always by one scout, and often by two. Are you sure, Eugene? Sure? My dear boy, they are always the same. But there's no process out against you. The Jews only threaten. They have done nothing. Besides, they know where to find you, and I represent you. Why take the trouble? Observe the legal mind. Remarked Eugene, turning round to the furniture again, with an air of indolent rapture. Observe the dyer's hand, assimilating itself to what it works in, or would work in, if anybody would give it anything to do. Respected solicitor, it's not that. The schoolmaster's abroad. The schoolmaster? A. Sometimes the schoolmaster and the pupil are both abroad. Why, how soon you rust in my absence? You don't understand yet? Those fellows who were here one night. They are the scouts I speak of, as doing me the honor to attend me after dark. How long has this been going on? Asked Lightwood, opposing a serious face to the laugh of his friend. I apprehend it has been going on ever since a certain person went off. Probably, it had been going on some little time before I noticed it, which would bring it to about that time. Do you think they suppose you to have inveigled her away? My dear Mortimer, you know the absorbing nature of my professional occupations. I really have not had leisure to think about it. Have you asked them what they want? Have you objected? Why should I ask them what they want, dear fellow, when I am indifferent what they want? Why should I express objection when I don't object? You are in your most reckless mood. But you called the situation just now a ludicrous one, and most men object to that, even those who are utterly indifferent to everything else. You charm me, Mortimer, with your reading of my weaknesses. By the by, that very word, reading, in its critical use, always charms me. An actress's reading of a chambermaid, a dancer's reading of a hornpipe, a singer's reading of a song, a marine painter's reading of the sea, the kettle drum's reading of an instrumental passage, are phrases ever youthful and delightful. I was mentioning your perception of my weaknesses. I own to the weakness of objecting, to occupy a ludicrous position, and therefore I transfer the position to the scouts. I wish, Eugene, you would speak a little more soberly and plainly, if it were only out of consideration for my feeling less at ease than you do. Then soberly and plainly, Mortimer, I goad the schoolmaster to madness. I make the schoolmaster so ridiculous, and so aware of being made ridiculous, that I see him chafe and fret at every pore when we cross one another. The amiable occupation has been the solace of my life, since I was bulked in the manner unnecessary to recall. I have derived inexpressible comfort from it. I do it thus. I stroll out after dark, stroll a little way, look in at a window and furtively look out for the schoolmaster. Sooner or later, I perceive the schoolmaster on the watch, sometimes accompanied by his hopeful pupil, oftener, pupil-less. Having made sure of his watching me, I tempt him on, all over London. One night I go east, another night north, in a few nights I go all round the compass. Sometimes, I walk, sometimes, I proceed in cabs, draining the pocket of the schoolmaster who then follows in cabs. I study and get up abstruse no thoroughfares in the course of the day. With Venetian mystery I seek those no thoroughfares at night, glide into them by means of dark courts, tempt the schoolmaster to follow, turn suddenly, and catch him, before he can retreat. Then we face one another, and I pass him as unaware of his existence, and he undergoes grinding torments. Similarly, I walk at a great pace down a short street, rapidly turn the corner, and, getting out of his view, as rapidly turn back. I catch him coming on post, again pass him as unaware of his existence, and again he undergoes grinding torments. Night after night his disappointment is acute, but hope springs eternal in the scholastic breast, and he follows me again tomorrow. Thus I enjoy the pleasures of the chase, and derive great benefit from the healthful exercise. When I do not enjoy the pleasures of the chase, for anything I know he watches at the temple gate all night. This is an extraordinary story, observed Lightwood, who had heard it out with serious attention. I don't like it. You are a little hipped, dear fellow, said Eugene. You have been too sedentary. Come and enjoy the pleasures of the chase. Do you mean, that you believe he is watching now? I have not the slightest doubt he is. Have you seen him tonight? I forgot to look for him, when I was last out, returned Eugene with the calmest indifference. But I dare say he was there. Come. Be a British sportsman, and enjoy the pleasures of the chase. It will do you good. Lightwood hesitated, but, yielding to his curiosity, rose. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.